Oh my God.
Blog Talk Radio.
Soul, mind, consciousness within us. There's some light or something within us that goes from the lifetime to lifetime if we only look at this earthly timeline. Now that light, that soul, mind, consciousness as a memory. So it's like this memory keeper within us. And then when it's something mirrored to us, when we watch that movie that captivates us or anything, something inside of us goes like an echo. I remember that. Pay attention to that.
Mm.
And then it puts you on this journey. I think that's that journey of the awakening. So actually, the Hollywood or everybody out there doing such a great service to humanity, to putting us on this awakening journey, whenever it is intentional or not, in making it normal that eventually we will be the superhuman and it will be normal.
And then what I love about it is then you come along, you know, spiritual counselor, soul healer, teacher and writer, and you come along with this, for lack of a better word, please correct me if I misspeak, for lack of a better word, you receive messages and you receive them. But what people don't understand, we're going to talk about how this all began for you in a second, but what folks may or may not understand is what happens to us when we receive messages. I know for me, as a very young child, 6 years old, Catholic boarding school, I didn't think about the fact that there was something wrong with me. I just heard the voice give me a message about my mom, who passed away, and at literally minutes. And I didn't know anything about that, because at 6 years old, you're just like, oh, let me go tell Sister Michael Anthony. And then they think you've lost your mind, because why would anybody like Jesus be talking to anybody like you? But then let's step out of the realm of that. Messages that are coming, language of light. Let me ask you this. What was it about your life, and when was it in your life that you were touched? And if I might say, touched by an angel. But touched, maybe it was a feather, maybe it was a 2x4, but there was something that helped you become who you are today, writing an incredible book and teaching the rest of us on how to connect.
Oh my God, I see these tears to my eyes. I'm sorry about your mom. I think there's a similarity in the tremendous level of suffering. You are about to enter a tremendous level of suffering, a child who loses a mom at age of the six, being in the modern school, there's a tremendous level of suffering that opens you somehow to that telepathic energy where any single of us is able to perceive that message. And that is a gift. For me, we Pleiadians, we love to agree to the soul contract of the suffering. So I had a quite abusive childhood. And it was in the time when the times were the worst, when I actually talk about committing suicide, I would have a dreams, and the dreams I would travel. And so go to bed and sleep or read the books and just be in that story. That was a way for me when I was touched, when I was transformed to somewhere else and I could not understand it. And spirits and all that would scare me for the many years after. You know, I used to be more scared of it and welcoming it. But that was that very nourishing and loving thing that happened to me.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because, you know, I don't know what it is about the Pleiadians. I mean, I don't know what their relationship to suffering, but it's almost like, if I might, it's not any different than Indigenous people and the rites of passage and what one has to go through. By the way, what does that even mean? And so if we don't have an experience in a number of Indigenous cultures, they will create something called a vision quest. It's a rite of passage. It is a place that somebody has to go. And by the way, if you don't think that you're going on a quest and doing a little suffering, well, think again, right? But it's this place for us to, and I love how you said it so beautifully, because what was my first memory of an opening? I don't have a language for it, but of an opening. What's your first memory?
My first memory?
Yeah.
It's very old. I was about 1.5 years old.
Oh, wow.
have a very early memory. And I would walk by the wall and I would feel the electricity in the wall where literally the electric lining is going. And then I would walk to my mother's needle basket because my mother would be needling. And in the Europe, I was born in the Czech Republic, we don't have this protective thing. So back then, I would take the two needles and I electrocute myself. I think I give myself a little power jump to the other side and coming back. And then I have seen, wow, that's interesting. I've seen the UFO after. I would be drawing a spaceship blueprint on the bottom side of my mother's sofa. I actually tried to do it on the wall, but by the age of 1.5, 2, it wasn't that expressive. My mom wasn't really happy about it. But those are really my first memory. And I remember the drawing the spaceship, you know, like the rooms beside the room. And I wish I can remember it all today, but I felt like there was such an importance to document it and how the each room is connected to the other room and importance to it. But that's all what I remember.
Yeah. But you know, I asked the question because you open your book right out of the gate, remembering, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important for us to tell everybody listening, this is our birthright to remember.
Yeah.
And yes, there are so many things that happen in life that could really shut us down, that could really make us a little bit harder. But, you know, you're giving us an invitation right out of your book. And for those of you just tuning in, you know, I want to make sure you all know this is, and by the way, if you have any for today for the show for Ava Marquez, you can call us 1-800-930-2819. So please feel free to do that, 1-800-930-2819. And the reason that this is important is because we're talking about Activate Your Cosmic DNA. That's the title of the book, Discover Your Starseed Family. So we're going to go through and talk about what are the starseed families, because we know them, we've named them, we've seen them. Again, reference any books you see coming out there, you'll see names. And how about this interesting satellite company calling itself what? Sirius XM. And so it's so a part of us. So what you're seeing is, and we're going to go through this, is there's a remembering that happens because we have something inside of us.
Yes.
Otherwise, your book wouldn't say activate. It would say, like, I don't know, like, find, I don't know what it would say. But what you're saying is we have it.
Yeah. It is built inside of us. It has always been there, and it wants to awaken. I think it's scheduled on that, you know, scheduled awakening, which is probably 200-300 years into human evolution forward. But, you know, we all who are remembering now and trying to raise that awareness, we are a little bit ahead of time. But as you said, how come they named that? Or the Subaru, like my favorite car. It's the Pleiades.
Yes.
Everything. You know, why do you name the car Pleiades?
Isn't that an interesting question? But, you know, it's also, I mean, what we're really talking about here is we're talking about a solution for so many things. And I want to talk about that because there's a reason that you wrote the book. There's a reason that you're bringing the message forward. There's a reason that, you know, amongst us, we are disseminating, we're spreading information out about kind of these ideas. Whether you're thinking Atlantis or you're thinking about inner earth or you're thinking about, you know, the rain, there's a message in this. But the timing of this is so special. Because I think we are getting prepared. Are we getting prepared?
We are definitely getting prepared. And that is going to be normal. There's, you know, I think the contact has been already happening here for many, many years. It's just not public. But I think the biggest shock is that the aliens are among us and that we are the aliens actually living in the body. Some of us who had a already planetary life somewhere else before we came on the Earth, and some people started here on the Earth. And I think it's so important to remember because, again, we are getting prepared, but also as we're getting smarter, we are in a very, you know, self-destructive kind of the behavior. And so there is a difference, you know, when you remember that you are a star seed, you suddenly accept that, yes, I'm a different, and people may look at me different.
Yeah.
And I don't have to solve that through the alcohol or drug addiction or any kind of the problem. I can actually really own that within me and enjoy that eccentricity of it instead of just hide myself and be afraid, you know, who I am. So, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, let's talk about that for a minute, too, because I kind of alluded to this and for a moment. I alluded to the idea that, you know, each and every one of us has a rite of passage. We go through a portal, whatever you would want to call it. We go through a step in life that changes us, whether it's at 1 year old or 6 years old or 60. But there's something that happens that changes us. And I wanted to ask you about it. Because I don't think there are any mistakes. I don't think that when I think back in my life, everything that I've gone through, and I'm kind of similar to you, but it's prepared me to be able to be in the world the way I am now. You know, it's given me a depth of what we are capable of overcoming. You know, I heard a quote from someone the other day, young woman, 16-year-old, preparing for the Olympics, rock climber. She ready to go to the Olympics. It's a new sport. Rock climbing will be a new sport. Teen. All of a sudden, she gets sick, and she's diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And so she's been competing in something that, what do we call it? I can't remember the sport, but it's one of my favorite, like, obstacle course sports that are out there now. And so she completed the course, fully completed the entire course. And I think it was on television. But her motto is, it doesn't have to be easy. It has to be possible, just possible. And this is really what you're talking about. If we open up ourselves to the possibility,
yeah.
Tell me, what is the mystery that we should prepare ourselves that will be revealed to us outside of reading your entire book and the entire body of work? But what do you think the mystery for our time is right now?
I know that you all expect to say that there's going to be the spaceship who's going to land here or there. I think the biggest mystery is to figuring out our body, because that's all what the plane is teaching me. As you said, you know, we are going through all these unexpected illnesses and suffering and the problems. And to walk a little bit around this, the electrocution was the one thing, was not remembering, but the awakening really with me came with the Lyme disease that really got me this learning and learning about the healing. And funny thing that my guide said before, learn about the healing. And I was like, no, I can just be channeled. That's fine. That's really fine. A few months after, I get a really serious effect of the Lyme disease that completely changed my life. And I'm so grateful for it. I mean, the year after, like 6 months, I didn't even know who I am. So that is 6 months. But learning, working with my meridians, learning to tap of my body, really finding that way, that changed me. And I think that the biggest discovery that we can have, or we can be shocked with, that we can heal ourselves, that our body is a microcosm of macrocosm, that every organ within the body mirrors the constellation, same as we mirror in the personalities of those star families, we mirror the constellation. So as you said, we all come to the choices of, and I'm going to be depressed that I can't, for example, to compete in the Olympics, because that's heartbreaking, that's plain down heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make the best out of it.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, it doesn't have to be easy, but I'm going to make best out of it. I'm going to accomplish here what I came to accomplish. I'll be that voice. So we have a gallbladder organ. To me, that is the Orion Star Nation, which is not in the book, but it's something out of this book. But if the Orion energy imprint is within our gallbladder, according to Chinese medicine, gallbladder is a decision maker. We all go. We don't have the free will choice. We are blocked. Yes, we have. It's inside of our body. And I think if we go organ by organ, start looking at the personalities, we start realizing that literally the universe is inside of us. And to be in the universe, we have to go through us and be in the universe.
We're going to talk more about this. We're also going to talk about something that is so very important, but the way you talk about it in the book. And by the way, you introduced the power of three early on in the book, and I want to talk with you about that. But before we go ahead, how do people get a copy of the book, if you don't mind? And then you also have courses that you offer. How do people connect with you in general?
Thank you for asking. You can find me on my website, www.evamarquez.org. And my books are on my website, but I also all major book resellers, which is the Inner Traditions, my publishing house, Barnes & Nobles, Amazon, Simons & Schuster, BAM, Million Books, bookshops.org, and IndieBound. So they're all over the place.
I love it. When we come back, we're going to take a short break, Manny, Jacob. We're going to talk about the power of three and what this is. And the way that Eva is talking about it is really, really what we have to focus on. We're not going to, not just about your past, your present, your future, but this is what she says in the book, the most important connection of threes, right? Right. So first of all, she says three is a magic number. It offers many clues to the past and to the future. It reveals in your world coded messages from ancient aliens, ancestors, but most importantly, the connection of threes is the connection of the earth, your past, yourself, your present energy, past energy, yourself, present energy, and the universe, your future energy. When we come back, we're going to talk with her about the activations and more importantly, how do we relate? You know, what is it that we're relating to? And can we relate without judgment? You know, there's nothing that says if you love the idea of Atlantis, that that is not enough. There are so many things here and so many messages. But stellar activation cycle, what is it open? What are your ancient memories? And how? How do these activate, connect us to, prepare us for the energy of our future? Benny, we're going to take a short break. Jacob, we're going to take a short break. All of you, 1-800-930-2819. If you have a question, you want to find something out from Ava, give us a call. We're going to take a short break. Everybody, we'll be right back.
In that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself. And we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Bels on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm licensed therapist with Drina Layton.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez and with Drina Layton show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insights on how to turn things around and gain the Merit for Life mindset.
Okay, Benny, so we know they are from another planet. I gotta figure out which one. I gotta figure out if they're like Andromeda or like Stevie Nicks for sure. Is like from what, from like somewhere. So Stevie Nicks, I think, also says she is, right? So thank you, Betty, for playing that. Ava, thank you. One more time, let's give out your website, and please spell your last name. I want folks to know how to find out more about you, because what we're about to talk about now is we're going to talk so much you have in this book. I read the book. I had to go back and read it, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. What? Okay. These star seeds, these Atlantis, you know, the soul life was created. So my brain started to go, but please tell people how they can find out more about you, how they can attend your class. Don't you have an upcoming class coming soon?
Yes, I do.
Okay, please tell us about that.
So my website is www.evamarquez.org. They spell it EvaMarquez.org. And there's a link to my book. You can also find my book at Amazon, Inner Traditions, Barnes and Nobles, and all the major bookselling websites. The most popular course I'm teaching is the Soul Healing. It's a 10-week course. I will start in the end of the September again. It's a 10-week course. Then we really focus on that trinity that Dr. Pat was talking about.
Yeah.
The learning to find a balance is not only our past, present, of the future, but between the soul, mind, and the body. Because if we really want to run this extraterrestrial energy, as I said, you know, we remember and we awaken and we have to embody it, right?
Yeah.
So then we're going to learn that. And I also teach the Language of Light course, which I probably will teach in the August. So my courses are on my website, and I will be updating them more. There's so much I have planned for the future.
And the reason I'm bringing it up is because what you're really bringing forth, and we're going to talk about these energies, because what I was really struck by is you and I have so we have so much in common. You know, April 1st of 2004, Benny knows me through this. Benny and I have been doing this together with the Dr. Pat Show and Plus Busting for 20 years. We're coming up on a 20-year anniversary. And so one of the things I realized is that I was on a pathway in my life, and there was nothing that was going to stop me, except there was one thing that did, a mystery disease, which in the state of Washington was unknown. And the form that I had and the level that I had was not really quite documented yet. And so thank you, Dr. Dawrish. Thank you, Sue Storm. Thank you, Mary Jane Mack, because my cells stopped working. And that disease is now known, really not a great name, as chronic Lyme disease. And there are many co-infections. But you and I talked about something, I don't want to blow by it, because there was an activation, and that activation had me look at my past energies. And by the way, I was in the middle of a relationship with a narcissist who just
do not get chronically ill
in a relationship unless you're with somebody that really does care for you. Yeah. But do you see what I'm talking about? I mean, why did I have to go through that? What was it about that? And that's why I keep asking you about the prepared. Mm-hmm. See, I think that these 3 years have prepared millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it now. We're seeing it in the headlines. We're seeing people rise up. They've been prepared. But let's talk about this, the energy of past, present. And people may not know where to start. Where do I start? Is it Atlantis? Do I want to skip Atlantis? Can I really go somewhere else? How do they find their own spiritual pathway with this and those energies of past, present, future?
So they step in the present with us. I would say the one common thing that you and I had, you know, we were in that narcissistic relationship.
That we just didn't want to see. We were not willing to change.
I tried to be so normal. I was trying to be a normal wife and have a normal kind of the job and just to be normal, try to outrun all of that. And there was so much of dysfunction in my life. Like, you know, when I suddenly had that Lyme disease, I saw it like all open in the front of me that my life is absolutely dysfunctional in many parts. And some parts were very good, but some parts were completely, I was killing myself just by living that. So we start in the present, and we really need to do a life review. We need to change. What Lyme disease did to us, it changed our nervous system. We can compare it, like you take the computer and you push the reset button. It shuts down, and it's going to completely, you know, come back online again. And that's what happened to our nervous system. It completely shut down by our willingness. We had to rebuild it again, but we rebuilt it in that more effective kind of the way. So if I spend a present of time and I'll see what is honestly not working in my life, what are the challenges in my life? You know, am I upset with my mother or husband or anything?
Or all of them.
I'll take it, you know, what triggers me.
Yeah.
And then I start to look into the past. So think of it as the infinite symbol that we're going to start moving in, okay? So I'm that dot that's connected inside. And I said, you know, I always have this issue with my mother. And I start to look, you know, in this lifetime, instead of blaming her, I'm going to look at my thing, you know, what was my involvement in it? And everybody says, like, no, it's not me, it's not me. Yes, there must be something inside of us that triggers these people and, you know, that we attract this kind of the relationships in our life. And then we start looking back in our past life. It may lead us all the way back into the Atlantis. I always tell people, we came here to resolve our earthly issues. You did not have a problems with your mother in the Pleiades and came to resolve it on the earth. It has nothing to do with it. It may be that your mother deserted you in the Pleiades and you fell into the water and drowned, and she may feel that I couldn't save my baby and having all that thing, and you have that against each other. You need to forgive each other. So once I find it, the healing, which I believe is the only healing, soul healing, is by forgiveness, by acceptance. I accept what happened. I forgive myself and the people involved. And I choose a different way forward. I change. So if I come here and I will not hold that charge towards my mom, that's going to completely change my future. Automatically. Yeah. It's like that, right, to me, it's the right side of this number 8 of the infinity, the circle. The path ahead of me is completely different because I don't have to attract my mother-like personalities in my life who will completely trigger me. So we have to look at a timeline, and it's not necessary going all the way back into Lemuria and Atlantis. It just stops whenever it feels weird or funny and resolve the problem. The problem what we have now with the Lemuria and Atlantis is we are returning back to that energy. And I think that's a big surprise too. What I found fascinating from my readings that here in the USA, where I live, right, the East Coast is more Atlantean energy. The West Coast is all Lemurian energy.
Yes, exactly. I'm from the East Coast. I'm so fascinated that you said that, right? And I'm trying to remember if even in the movie, even in the Aquaman movie, I think everybody thought the whole lighthouse thing was on the West Coast. But see, I thought that was East Coast energy.
I thought so too.
Right?
So
I thought that was like Maine or New Hampshire, right, or something like that. I don't know, like something like that. But I guess the West people want to own they want to own. But the reason I'm bringing it up and I want you to talk about it, because there's so much in your book, but what I'm really struck by is the bridge you build between what we're talking about and what we're reaching for. I had the oddest dream last night, which I'm not going to talk about because I don't usually dream and I don't even know it. But I was reading your book and you talk about this one thing that I got to ask you about.
Okay.
I do not think, had I not gone through what I went through at age six, being beaten in Catholic boarding school, I would not have had that opening, that conversation,
yeah.
Right? And I've shared this story on air a bit. I got a message from Jesus at the ninth station of cross that I shouldn't have known. And when they took me to Mother Superior, when I said to them, Jesus told me my mom was with him, her tears were coming down her face. She had a note from my dad. My mom had just passed. So when you have that experience, but there's one thing I got to ask you about, because I think it's core, whether it's Andromeda, whether it's here, it doesn't matter. The energy power centers, you call them EPC. Okay, I want to talk about these because as I started to think about my life, just like you did, I think I had to go through like a pain thing that opened that up that then gave me something that helped me transform. I don't know. Is that, am I oversimplifying this?
No, you are saying it exactly right. And I'm so happy you mentioned that you just had a dream. I'm like, we don't know what your dream was, which is okay. That's what people usually say when they work with me or read a book. That's what the book opens you to. It's not like you read a book. This book is like your antenna up there. You know, that's what I believe. That makes me like so happy to hear that. But yes, we do have energy power centers, which means that, let's just think about your seven main chakras. And one of the chakra is a little bit stronger, and the mission of our, you know, awakening, what we have to do would be centered around this energy center, about an electromagnetic field. So the Pleiadians, they bring that in our heart chakra, because Pleiadians are soul healer. We are, you know, connected to love very much. We are connected to love. To remember who we are, we need to reach that lower level of the suffering. So that will be lack of love, withdrawal of the love, abuse, and so much on. But what I found really fascinating when we compare, let's say, Andromedians, they have a totally different thing. Andromedan energy power center is in that third chakra, solar plexus, and it kind of go a little bit to the second one. And they awakening usually comes by the strict illness of the breaking of the bones, having a back injury. And I read for so many people, that's the same story. So like the Pleiadians go, you know, this emotional suffering, they go like, I had a back injury, I had a car injury, and that awakened me because there was no normal way to heal. And it's usually connected to the bones where, you know, the Lyrans have a grief, Lyrans have this whole this body kind of the energy. Sirius energy power center is within the mind, so they all go like Akashic records and seeing with the third eye. Well, they still need to learn to understand their body, but their awakening usually comes by, you know, they are knowledge keepers, so they are very intellectual people, and then they usually are the fighters for the justice, and they I have so many that join the military or the police department, and suddenly, you know, being the lawyers, and suddenly realize like, oh my God, this is not how I think it's going to work, and they have that intellectual heartbreak. So let's say, like, you know, we play and have a emotional heartbreak, they have an intellectual heartbreak, and that makes them search for something else and find the proof that this is not just a hocus pocus, that there's really something in this. And if we have a heightened centers within the body and we figured it out, then we can easily put it in our work. So when you are speaking to your audience, you're literally speaking from your heart. Your soul is entwined in your voice. And your soul is touching and reaching other souls on that Pleiadian level. And they hear, you know, some of them may have a really bad day or feel like, this is it. And then
right. They,
you know, listen to Dr. Pat and they go like, you know what? I think I can go on with one more day, or I can find a healing. Or if she finds a way from the Lyme disease, so can I. I can change the life. So through our energy power centers, we also share our energy and we give the healing whenever we are conscious about it or not, in our own unique way.
You know, and this is, let's talk about this because I want to get to, you know, some of the things in the book that people may not know about, because there is an activation that happens. And you know, I don't know if, I don't know what the formula is. You know, I don't know, like, if some people go through a rite of passage or activation and they don't have to go through a thing, let's just call it a thing in yeah. life. I don't know that. I know that that's not my life path. I mean, I had to go through half a lifetime of addiction and recovery and just everything you said. Why are we trying to numb ourselves? Because maybe there's information that we don't. I will tell you, mm-hmm. I am a student. The reason that I love talking with you is because I'm learning. I don't even know what I don't know about this, but I have questions. And that's what I love about what you've done in the book, because everyone goes through a different experience. I found out that while I was, and you know this about Lyme disease, you know how it works. I had such a bad case. My cells stopped working. I gained 50 pounds. Thank you, Dr. Darvish and Mary J. Mack. Thank you both, Dr. Darvish, fantastic naturopath, took on the attorney general of the state, took on most of the country, because somehow the tick does not travel from Idaho to Washington. They must have like a tick sign that the deer, they just, oh, we don't come here. But you see, these people rose up, they fought. One single occurrence for a person like me, and then there were thousands here, activated something. I want to ask you this question because there are some people that Ava, you're special, Pat, you're special, Betty, you're special, Jacob, you're special. But this book you wrote is not for special. It's for everyone. Can you walk us through how some of these, how should I say them, some of these beautiful energies, whether it's Andromeda or Sirius, but how, there's so many. I don't even know how you put this book together, but it's all about healing. If we could just understand that, we will get the message we need, right?
Yes, absolutely. So while you are reading the book, there will be one page or maybe several of them that it says, oh my God, that sounds like me, like Centaurians having a super heavy self-destructive pattern and need to tattooing themselves. Versus Pleiadians, we are more like, no, and I met the Pleiadians who like the tattoos, but I'm more like, no, don't need that. Really don't, you know, with all that stuff. And suddenly you realize that it's not just you who is, you know, different, that there are many people, because this book came out of the readings for many and many people. And I started to see the similarities as it's like in the past life similarities, belief around the Jesus Christ and this and that happened. And I started, you know, to question that, and I said, is it just my imagination? Maybe I just have a good imagination. And right then I saw the quote from the Albert Einstein, we cannot imagine that we have not experienced. So there's go back and forth, you know, the thing of it. But the activation happened, and you're reading it, and you suddenly see, like, that sounds like me, or that feels like me, that happened to me. Oh, that's why my back healed. You know, I just read for somebody, and she had a hip injury since she was a little child, and she says, you know, I actually healed them, and I was about 14, and they told me that I will be crippled later on in life. And I, when I heard that, it just somehow miraculously healed. Yes, because she's an Andromedian starseed, and that's what they do. When that happens, what it creates, you have that click, that aha moment that we each have. Do you go like, oh, okay. Suddenly the story from the chakra reaches the electromagnetic frequency in your organs and it registers in your nervous system. That's when activation happens. Power of three is a phenomenal thing. Oh my God. It's like 1, 2, 3. Chakras, meridian system with organs and the nervous system. We can imagine holographically. So while you're reading or hearing something or watching the Marvel movies, is you have an experience and you feel it in your body. Once you feel that within your body and you can feel sort of that affirmation like, yeah,
yeah,
that's who I am.
Yeah.
That's where the magic happens. And unfortunately, they should go to warning sign. That's when you start to see the changes that you need to do in your life, because suddenly everything comes here and you have a high and you have a low. And when you have a low, what my mentor taught me, she says, my lowest was the shame pattern. That's the lowest on the lowest.
Yeah.
And then she says, when you feel the shame, give yourself a pat on the back and says, yes, there's nowhere else to go. that's the bottom, and you go up, and then you build yourself the way you would like to be. And I think that if we embody the starseed personalities, being DNA within us, then it is our responsibility to create a way of life that is inspiring to the others. Man says, you know, I want to be like that. Even if I started cooking or raising the children or writing the book, if you can inspire somebody to have that way and you show that impossible is possible. I mean, 24 years ago, I didn't speak English. I'm writing in the English. How many of your shows speak perfect English? I always joke about it. Everything is possible. We are just limiting ourselves within us.
Yeah. I mean, I love that we're talking about this because one of the things I was struck by in the book as I went through, I related to one very specific being, starseed, you know, and, you know, it's not that I didn't relate to the others, but I had to go through quite a bit of the book, you know, to really start to read and say, I think this is my energy. I think it's this one. I think this is me. I'm reading this and I'm thinking, why do I relate to this one? Right? You know, what is it about this? And is that really what people are experiencing? Are they, do they go through the book and they find something? And I'm talking about Centurion, right? I got to that reading in the book, in that chapter in the book, Centaurus. And I don't know what it was about this, but it just click, 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 click. Now, I don't know if I'm self-projecting. I don't know what that is.
You need to stop yourself there. You know, that's a logical mind. You know, that's like that light and up there, that girls are like, shh, you know, it all that. So when you come to it, some people come to the one chapter, some people feel that they fit into the each one of them. When you feel like there it is, again, sit and just to feel it within you. There's that soul mind consciousness. It's like that echo inside says, oh my God, you remember. You remember?
Yeah.
Because what you read sounded familiar.
Yeah. It's not that I didn't relate to the others. I mean, I totally have a Pleiadian, some kind of something or other. I do. My relationship with water, growing up on the East Coast, I love water. I cannot swim to save my life, but if you put me in water, I'm not going to get out. I had to move here to the West Coast, water everywhere. But here's my question, and I know we only have a few minutes left. I am pretty sure that this is in front of me, your book, and you, just like so many others listening, because there's something here to help me now where I am in my life. There's something here. There's a message here. So it doesn't mean I didn't relate to the others, but there's something here to learn. And I want to ask you this, because I know you work with people individually. You're a spiritual counselor, whatever that is, you work with individuals.
Yes.
There's a point that I've discovered that I get to in my spiritual journey where I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm at that. I mean, our network's growing and expanding. My friends just don't get it. They're like, what the heck are you doing? How did you go from retired corporate career, doctoral program, consultant, and now you own and are running and have a great team, a positive, the Transformation Network, television, radio, multimedia, marketing, and you're going to go from one channel to 10. And they asked me about it. Why? And then how? And you know what my answer is now? Because I'm called to do it. See, I don't have a logical answer for them.
Because you are called to do it.
And does that activate? See, if we could give a message to people that removes the judgment or what other people want us to frame in, what is the power in owning what we're called to do?
We are here to change the world. they are here to navigate to work into the better future that will be for us, for them here, for our children, the grandchildren, everybody around. And the judgment of somebody else is their own unhappiness or own fear over whatever they are experiencing. They don't really judge you, they judge themselves. And if somebody tells me something that sounds judgmental, doesn't understand, and if it triggers me, then I have to look, what is it that I don't feel comfortable about? Is there something from my past, of the past life, that I'm afraid? You know, we're really coming out of the very heavy last 1,000 of years where we have been killed for speaking our mind, for being the healers, for doing who we are. Now, so it's really only, this is what I want to do. If it makes me happy, if it makes you as the Dr. Pat happy, you're creating opportunities for your fabulous team. You're creating place that is filled with love and happiness when they wake up in the morning and says, you know what, I love my job. If you do it for your group.
I love my life.
The network grow into the 10 channels. That means that you can provide a work opportunity to way of the life, to grow, to evolving for much more people that you will naturally employ, that will work with you. So you will change their lives. It's like a flower of life. So why would I allow some judgment to affect me? If I have a seed of life that can grow in this beautiful flower of life and change anybody around, we all are afraid and worried. When I wrote the book, my kids were still in the middle of elementary school, and I was like, what do people will think about me? Do I say what I do? Will they be judged? And they all get used to it. It's absolutely okay. There's this funny thing. Once you start being afraid of the judgment, people will either get behind you or completely away from your life. It's a kind of bittersweet journey, but it's a beautiful journey because I think what we create, what you create, is just something that's going to change the life of many, and that's meaningful.
Ava, I want to thank you for today. I mean, I can't thank you enough, but I also want to thank you for the way you've written the book, because as you go through each chapter, you introduce us to our home. You call it the home world. And you talk about in each of these, the energy power center. You call them the EPC. And, you know, and also what it does is it says, look, I also read this first line that you said about Centurions, right?
Yep.
The correct identification, naming the right energy power center for Centurions, Farsis, may be challenging. And I thought to myself, okay, that's not going to be new to me. And so I love the way you've written a book, because it is information, but it's also activation. It's telling us how we can do it, right?
Yeah.
And the more and the more I read about this and your beautiful story, this is really for people now to understand their capacity to open up beyond our physical, right?
Absolutely. And this is that we are different for the reason. And I can just say very quickly about Centaurians. Centaurians are hybrid beings. And so there's a confusion. You have the light and energy within you. You have a Pleiadian energy. You have a Sirian energy. And actually, you want to do everything. You want to study everything and be good at everything. And it's so confusing that it's going to become self-destructing. Because before we started the show, I was like, no, she has a Lyrian energy. I feel Lyrian. Then we talked, I was like, it's Pleiadian. And then I felt like, you know, I said, if you're going to ask me, I'm going to ask you if you can talk to the animals. That was like my thing, that you must love the animals.
I do talk to the animals.
That's the Centaurian thing. That's usually when people say, you know, I talk to the animals. That's the Centaurian thing. That's my selling point. Like for knowing, you know, if the Andromedian says, oh, I had a car accident, I was like, yep, Andromeda, you know, talking to the animals, definitely Centaurian. But then you realize that you can choose. You can actually relax in your life. And you can say, today I act as a Pleiadian, today as a Sirian, today as a Centaurian, today I'm all of it together. It's like you go to your closet and pick the outfit you want to wear for the day. And when people read about a homeboard, I want you to really think about it. Like your grandmother is describing the life in the Czech Republic when they cook the food.
views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Hey, good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update. For around the sound, starting things off over on 167 southbound, 405 around Mompos 26, it looks like. Collision partially blocking the left-hand of the lane. Also, we have on I-5 southbound, the express lanes near the off-ramp Pike Street around Mompos 167. Recent incident partially blocking the ramp there. Since response teams, State Patrol has arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that situation. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network with Coach Christine, Beyond the Curve. Calling in your unique destiny. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The January 6th House Committee is considering testimony from a top former aide in the Trump White House. Cassidy Hutchinson was a senior aide to Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. During the committee's latest hearing, Hutchinson recalled a conversation with Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani on January 2nd, when Giuliani said January 6th was going to be a great day, and what she did after he said that.
After Mr. Giuliani had left the campus that evening, I went back up to our office, and I found Mr. Meadows in his office on the couch. He was scrolling through his phone. I remember leaning against the doorway and saying, I've had an interesting conversation with Rudy, Mark. Sounds like we're going to go to the Capitol. He didn't look up from his phone and said something to the effect of, there's a lot going on, Cass, but I don't know, things might get real, real bad on January 6th.
A top Federal Reserve official doesn't see a recession in the nation's economic future. New York Fed President John Williams told CNBC he expects an economic slowdown, which is needed to tame inflation. The Fed has been aggressively raising interest rates over the past few months, and more rate hikes could be coming in the future. A disturbance in the Atlantic Ocean is expected to become a tropical storm. Rick Hoschel has details.
The National Hurricane Center is monitoring potential tropical cyclone 2 as it tracks to the west, several hundred miles east of Trinidad. The system is headed toward the Windward Islands, and forecasters say there's a high chance of development in the next several days. If it develops, it'll be named Bonnie. The system is not expected to impact Florida.
The sequel for Ghostbusters Afterlife is getting a release date. The characters will head back to New York City in the Ghostbusters firehouse after spending the entirety of Afterlife in a small town in Oklahoma. There's no word on which actors will be teaming up to fight ghosts in the sequel. Ghostbusters Afterlife 2 will hit the big screen on December 20th, 2023. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Are you a psychic, sensitive, or seeker who wants to learn more? Are you a mystic on the path who wants to go further? Tune in to the Mystic School, where your host, author, and spiritual teacher, Sarah Wiseman, will share with you all things mystic and metaphysical. Join us as we dive deep into the divine realms of psychic opening and spiritual awakening, and how you can live as an intuitive soul. Tuesdays at noon on KKNW or wherever you find podcasts.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies for the first part of the day, turning to clouds and a slight chance of rain showers arriving later on this afternoon and evening. High temperatures around 66, 67 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with light showers. Low temperatures dropping down to about 54. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, drizzle here and there. High temperature around 67. Mostly cloudy skies for Wednesday night. Lows down to about 54 for Thursday. And for Friday, though, more sunshine expected. High temperatures back on the ups. Highs in the low 70s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Forging a Life, Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny with Coach Christine Clark. Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your very being is softened by fire as you take hits that shape you. Christine is a transformational life coach dedicated to empowering entrepreneurs to create a whole life success on their terms. On this show, you will be forged into a magnificent, powerful, highly functional work of art that is your significant life. Now, here's your host, Christine Clark.
Join me, Coach Christine Clark, as we forge our lives. We are going to go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Who will you be when you believe you have what it takes? Hello, hello, guest. This is Coach Christine Clark, and it is Forging a Life, Going Beyond the Curve, Calling in Your Unique Destiny. Today, we're going to talk about living through transformation, one of the big, powerful things, and we are in such transformation, both individually and as a nation currently. A lot of stuff going on. I want to let you know that I am here every fourth Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. You can find me on Instagram and on LinkedIn and at Facebook, both at Sunglow Transformation as well as Coach Christine Clark. My website is Sunglow Transformation. And as always, each Tuesday of the month during the show and for the next several days, you can put your name in for a laser coaching program. You can work one-on-one with me, Coach Christine Clark, and be able to transform your life, remove the blocks, and blaze forward with a laser coaching program. All you have to do is give me your name, your phone number, and your email address. Send that to christine@sunglowtransformation.com, and one of you will get to work with me and move forward. So that's always exciting, fun. I've had such great conversations, and you all are amazing people to work with. It's been fantastic. So I want to talk about transformation today, the living through transformation, because transformation truly is a process. And we are both transformed over time by small daily shifts and also through rapid transformation through immersion, when we get totally immersed. And when you're in the process, working with a life coach, you are in rapid transformation. You can do an immersion. I am a certified transformational neuro-linguistic transformational life coach, and I loved working with those systems, taking somebody through a process to disrupt their already train track modalities and just breaking them up enough for new insights, new awarenesses to happen so you can shift and have something better, something more in your life. And those are exciting processes to work through. And when you're in it, when we're doing a process like that, it is an immersion. You are totally in this one piece. We can also do immersion through retreats. When you step away from your daily life and sequester yourself with a group of other people for several days, two, three, 4 days, and have experiences that transform you, that help you grow, that help you crack through and get down into the deep pieces yourself out. Those are great ways that we immerse. And when we do that, when we work with a coach or when we set ourselves up and go to a retreat, we're choosing that, right? We are choosing to say, hey, I want to work on me. I want to just take some time out and find out what's inside that can be changed or shifted. What can I release? What can I drop away so that I can claim the life that I want? Now, life also does throw us into overwhelming circumstance. We get tossed into the volcano. We're immersed. And then we end up dealing at ground level on the front lines of managing our life in circumstances that are not of our choosing. And this rapid transformation that can happen, whether you're doing it with a coach or in a retreat or whether life is putting you in this pot of hot water with the lid on, it can be emotional. It can be uncomfortable. And it requires vulnerability. You know, the process demands that we acknowledge just what is, what's going on. And you can't run away from it. You can't hide from circumstance that you find yourself in. You know, even just simply saying, wow, I'm in it, you know, recognizing that is enough. But the rapid process of transformation, it tears down in order to rebuild. And when you choose it to step in to that process, when you choose to step into the volcano, you're consciously letting go. You're saying, hey, I know this is coming. I know it may be a little uncomfortable, and I want it. what happens is life tosses us into the volcano, then we are just in it. And pieces fall away. Maybe we don't even want them to go away. We don't know they're going away. Sometimes they're torn away because of circumstance. And then we just have to ride the tide of life. So this transformation, that's a process. We can both be transformed over time, small daily shifts, and also through rapid transformation. Now, in our daily lives, in the Forge Your Life platform, when we talk about being drawn out over time, that all of your experiences from birth to present life form you, they set and they create you. Now, as we say, you start with just a chunk of steel. It's not very much to describe it. It's just a long piece of steel. Those of you on Facebook and on YouTube can see that I've got the little piece of steel. And those of you listening, I've got that chunk of steel. And then through life, it forms us out. We get put into this long cylindrical shape. This is the first step for the katana that eventually ends up being a beautiful, highly functional work of art. But it gets moved from this stubby little bar into this long cylindrical shape that kind of hints at what it's going to become. And that's what we go through in our life. And we can look at it in a couple of different ways. But all of our experiences actually set us up to be able to step into the life we want. All of our experiences are honing us, shaping us to become and not only achieve, but then maintain that destiny that's calling us. And the stories that we make up about our life experience are the keys to that. We can say that I have been through the fire, I've been hammered on, I've been shaped, and through that I have recognized my inner resilience, I've recognized my inner elements that make me unique, that make me especially the person that I'm going to be, that give me the tools and the skills to have, be, do whatever I want, and that's exciting. Sometimes we look at the stories in our life and we say, because this happened to me and because this happened and because my parents are that, or because I moved 100 times before I was 3 years old, or whatever the story is, sometimes we can say, because of that, there's no way I can be who I want, or no matter what I do, it won't be enough. It's the stories that we make up about our experience that make the difference on whether we're empowered and move forward or whether we're disempowered and stay stuck. Now, the rapid transformation through immersion is a different animal. We can choose it through coaching. And when we get to work with a coach and work through a process, someone's guiding us to go down deep, disrupt the preconceived ideas and notions that we have in order to get to that gold at the bottom and become more of who we're meant to be. In a retreat, you get to do the getaway, right? It's like a vacation on steroids. What I love about the retreats is that you're doing it with a bunch of other people. There is group synergy. And if it's interactive, you get to do deep work and then unpack it. And when you can do that, there's greater understanding. There is more retention of the lessons learned, of the shifts that you're able to make, to then take it back out and actually implement it and carry it forward in your life. Now, I am doing my next retreat is the Blaze Transformational Retreat, which is September 22nd to September 25th right here in Iowa. There's only 24 participants. It's a small, very powerful retreat. And Dr. Pat would, of course, want me to tell you that on day three, you're going to go in small groups to the workshop of Master Smith Howard Clark, where you're going to actually put
metal into the forge, pull it out, hammer on it with a hammer, and create a trinket, a small piece for yourself to take home as a reminder of everything that happens at the retreat, the transformation that you've made. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's an incredible piece to be able to add. Very, what do we call it, interactive, highly interactive, hands-on type thing that we're going to be doing. You can find out the information on that. It's on my host profile here at Transformation Talk Radio website, and just look for the Blaze Transformation Retreat. You know, rapid transformation happens in life when we get tossed into the volcano. And that's when we're not actually choosing transformation, but it's happening to us because of circumstance, because of what's going on. And we can get totally disrupted. And the interesting thing about this life circumstance throwing us into this immersion is that it's a very individual experience. You can't look around and judge what you're going through and see what somebody else does and say, wow, look at, they're handling so much more. I don't know why I'm having such a trouble with my piece. Or look at somebody and say, wow, what are they getting all wound up about that little piece for? It's individual. And we want to be able to understand that our perspective and what we experience as an individual is important. And it is our story and it's our journey. What are the pieces that can throw us into something that's disruption, into a immersion-style transformation in life? Well, it can be a terminal illness when you get that diagnosis or somebody close to you has that diagnosis. It can be death, death of someone very close to you, someone in your family. If you lose your job, that can throw you into a huge transformation immersion. Divorce does that. I would say that the Supreme Court decision and the loss of control over our own bodies, everybody with a vagina that is now in the United States that understands that their autonomy is in jeopardy, that could be enough. That is an immersion, a tough piece that we're all coming to grips with. One of the other types of transformations that happen in life is caring for an elderly parent, and that's one of the pieces that I've personally been going through over the last 6 months. But regardless of what initiates an immersion, whether you are choosing it through coaching, whether you're choosing it through a retreat, or whether life has given it to you, the important thing to understand is that it's a process. And the process is the same, that we, regardless of what initiates the immersion, that the process remains the same and we step into it. And so I'm going to be talking this throughout the show. We're going to walk through the, what this process is and how we change into what we're going to. So when you get tossed into it, when you choose it, there are things that happen, and you have to be able to recognize what's going on, what you're in it. You have to set down your ego. You have to let your defenses fall away. There are definitely going to be pieces that get removed, either because life takes it away from you or because you choose to let go of it. That's part of the transformation. And then you get into the point of where you are dealing with it, managing it, and then after that, you have the clarity of what's present for you, what you're learning, be able to take away the prizes, and then after that, then there is the renewal that comes from the other side. And that's the thing that is so important, that no matter what you go through, however uncomfortable it is, that there's a purpose and an intention. The universe doesn't simply toy with us. In order to claim your destiny, in order to step into that thing that's been calling you and you want so much in your heart to bring to fruition, You have to have some skills. You have to have some experiences that build you up, make you stronger, and make you better and able to not only attain that desire, that destiny, but then also keep it, maintain it, manage it. And that's what happens when we are in these life transformations, whether we're choosing it or whether it's happening to us. I think it's hard to understand when it's happening to us that we are, you know, this is actually supposed to be good for us. Are you kidding me? But it is outcome, the lessons we learn through adversity that really shine. I'm Coach Christine Clark. This is Forging Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. And we're going to take a little break and then we'll come right back.
Collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com. Very good. Thank you, Benny. This is Coach Christine Clark. This is Forging Life, going beyond the curve, calling in your unique destiny. You can find me on my website at sunglowtransformation.com. You can click on a link and have a one-on-one conversation with me, do a little coaching just to try it on for size, move yourself a step forward. If you would like to have a greater impact and move forward rapidly, I encourage you to put your name in for the Blaze Laser Coaching Program that is given away each month with my show. send me an email to coach, send me an email to christine@sunglowtransformation.com. Give me your name, give me your phone number and your email address, and we'll get you signed up for that. We're talking today about transformation, the process of transformation, and of course, the immersion rapid transformation when it is most comfortable and we are making the greatest progress as we go forward in life. Rapid transformation is uncomfortable. It is vulnerable. It's emotional. And there is no way around that. I think we really wish as human beings that it could be simple, easy peasy to recreate ourselves, to let go of what doesn't serve us and claim the best of ourselves. And suddenly, there you are dancing to the front of the line and enjoying life and just cruising. And unfortunately, that's not the way it happened. You have to go through some struggle, you have to go through some hardship in order to uncover the best that's available within you. And that's what rapid transformation is. So first of all, there are steps in the transformation process, regardless of whether you're choosing it, whether stepping into a retreat or coaching, or whether life is dumping it onto you. The first step is simply recognition. You have to be present to what is. I think our tendency is to deny the circumstance when it's happening. We want to hide from it, decide that what's present in our life, if it's uncomfortable, if the news we have got is bad news, that it just isn't real, shouldn't be this way, or I'll be able to deal with it, I'll be able to manage. There has been a six-month process where both my mother and her longtime friend companion, they lived together for 40 years, needed more and more care. And as the phone calls started to come in and the visits first were occasional and then they picked up and then they got so that they were almost constant, I went through this idea of that this was just a little piece of life. I have an older parent, and I know lots of other people that have spent time with their older parent and needed to care for their older parent, and this is just, that's fine, and the rest of my life is going to hold and be incomplete. And so when the energy and the time and this piece got put on my plate got to be kind of good size, to be able to recognize, oh my goodness, look at what this is taking. Look at what this is requiring. And so in that, I started out being in denial that I could just continue with everything else and do this too. That was not the case. And so as the frequency and urgency increased, doing what was needed, I first believed that I should also be able to keep up with everything else in my life and my business. And I also was stuffing anger, stuffing resentment toward what was required. And those feelings really were not serving me, and they weren't appropriate because I was choosing to do what was needed to be done. And in that choice, there were other things that could not be done. And so in acknowledgement, when I finally was able to come to understanding that I can no longer do everything as I was doing, that let's just deal with what is and let those other pieces drop away and not hold energy on them, not hold resentment on them, but focus on what is present, what is in front of you, and what you're doing now. And I think that's one of the hardest pieces is that first step of just recognition, understanding, this is what's going on in my life. I have just got this bad news, and now there's all these doctor's appointments. Someone close to me has just died, and now I have to deal with all of the pieces, parts that come after that to manage the estate, probate, all that stuff. There can't, that piece. Or just having things change, you lose a job, whatever that piece is for you, it triggers, and then there's this avalanche of stuff, And just simply being able to say, this is where I'm at, and getting clear that the circumstance is real, the circumstance is present, allows you then to start addressing the circumstance, to be able to shift and change your modalities as allowed, as needed, so that you can stay in motion or manage some pieces. It can't be like it was, but maybe I can do a little here. Maybe I can do that. So that is a huge piece, to simply just be able to recognize what is. This is what's happening, so now let's deal, rather than deny and continue to just try and hold it all together and do everything, which nobody can do, and that'll burn us out, that'll stress us out, and make for unhappy relationships as well. So then step two is that there are pieces that have to drop away. Something's going to get removed. That's just a part of transformation. When you choose it in a coaching section, or when you choose it through a retreat, the pieces that drop away are our preconceived notions, our ego. And when life is happening to us, with us, and it's all coming down, the story that you tell yourself about what is and isn't possible, that story has to change. And what drops away are those pieces that don't fit anymore. What I noticed for myself is that I wasn't doing some very standard things. My morning usually starts with a full bottle of water, and then meditation, yoga, journaling, and then taking my dog out for a run. And when things started disappearing, I realized at some point that I wasn't meditating, I wasn't doing yoga, I wasn't journaling. Those pieces didn't fit anymore because of the time and energy it was being taken, spending my time in care mode. Later on, I began to have to clear my calendar to just not take up and do things like I was doing. So there are pieces and parts that are going to just go away. That's part of the transformation process. Every transformation experience includes pieces falling away. Now, a lot of that comes from ego. The ego part's what needs to go away, because we can protect, we want to protect, we want to defend, we want to justify that things have to stay the same, or things can't stay the same, or this doesn't affect me, or I can hold it all together. And when you can let that ego go and stop protecting, stop defending, stop justifying, and simply realize that not everything can fit, and so we're going to let it go, that becomes a form of grace, really. When you are coaching, when you are in a retreat, you choose, and you say, yes, I'm willing to do this. When life is happening and it's the universe that's creating a shift for you, it's not asked for. And it's really easy to feel like we're a victim, to be able to hide behind, this should not be my life, as the bits are torn away by the belt grinder. Part of in the Forging Life, we talk about grinding and the releasing to smooth things out. And sometimes life doesn't gently take those off, it rips them off and throws them to the side because there's just no room for them. So step two is letting go, or having the pieces leave that need to leave, so that it simplifies. Things get so simplified. And what I noticed in my process of dealing with the extensive care that was required is I began to really look at my calendar. And it became really easy, and I was surprised at how easy it was to just decide, I don't need to go to that networking event, or do this piece, or do that piece, and it was okay. There wasn't any energy on it, because I recognized the amount of what was being placed in my life, and that something had to go away, and that simplified dealing with what was. So when you can find those places to let go and intentionally let them go, that's huge. And then the third step is settling into the process. When you can get comfortable with discomfort, and I know that doesn't sound like it should be something that can happen, but when you are in it and you're managing and you're dealing, then what happens is that you smooth out the process by understanding that you're in it and continuing to move forward. It's going to be a roller coaster, and you can let off steam, and then there's this release, and then you reset. And then go, and the energy, the emotion, the dealing with what has been given to you can build up again. And then you release, you let off the steam, and then you can reset. By managing what's present, we understand that it's not what we wish, it's not what we want, but it is what is. And when you choose management, then you're not blaming yourself. And when we're not blaming ourselves, which is huge, to not blame ourselves and to not tear ourselves down because we happen to be in the circumstance which was laid on us, but say, I'm going to manage it, and not blaming others. Not wanting to point the finger and yada, 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 yada. I'm so mad that I'm in this because. And I will tell you that, honestly, there were some moments where I wished I was not in this mode of caring for an elderly parent at my age. Other people I knew that cared for elderly parents were retired. I'm still trying to earn a living. I still am earning a living. And there was some, I shouldn't have to be doing this, and blaming my mother for not taking better care of herself. And that has no place. To be able to set that aside and say, this is what is, and adjust to the new reality. Laying aside our expectations is part of settling into the process. One of the biggest expectations that everybody has when they're in transformation, whether it's in a coaching or a retreat or life, is the idea of time, the idea that it should be over sooner than it is, because we're in it and it's uncomfortable and we want to see that light at the end of the tunnel and we want to be know it's going to be over and we're going to be okay. And there's that piece in the middle where you don't know that, where you have to just be with the overwhelm, be with the energies that are present. And I remember at a retreat, and we were, we had these towels and we were hitting chairs, and we worked in pairs because somebody had to hold on to the chair and the other person had the towel, and our facilitator was taking us through this hierarchy of emotion and talking us through it. We were yelling and screaming and taking that towel, and we were beating on the chair to get it energetically out, to get it verbally out, to express and go through all these emotions. And I remember that I was beating on that chair, and I was yelling, and I was crying, and I was going through, and all of a sudden I had no energy left, and I couldn't even lift the towel. It was like I was so spent. It's like, how long is it gonna make us do this? It's got to be done. And then eventually it was done, and I was the first person in our pair, and so then I switched roles, became the person holding on to the chair, and my partner was the one with a towel. And what happened was that it was only a 3-minute process. I mean, when I'm on the outside watching it happen, it's like, well, that went fast. But when you're in it, it seemed to expand and take forever. And we get to that point where we wish it was done now. And that's one of the things that happens in transformation, to have to set aside that expectation that it's going to be over quick and that it's going to be over now, because it will take as long as it takes to get you to the point that you need to be. And so that's part of what it is. For me, over the last several months, I kept thinking it would be done, that it would be better. We would get into this mode of being able to have something handled, and then I would find out again that it's not handled. And we moved my mother's friend into a care facility, and then my mother needed more care, and I thought we were going to be done, and we weren't. But this idea of being done sooner than we want or expecting it to be done is such a human piece and such a piece of transformation that we just simply have to set aside. It will take as long as it takes. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about the other steps in the process of transformation. I am Coach Christine Clark. You can find me at sunglowtransformation.com. Click on the link to have a conversation with me, especially if you are in one of these modes of transformation and you want to have somebody to bounce off and vent to. I am that person for you. Sign up for a conversation. You can find me on Instagram and LinkedIn at Coach Christine Clark and Sunglow Transformation. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. Thank you.
Courageously Expanding Love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit ElizabethAnnCunningham.com and subscribe.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com. Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Emotional Elevation with me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's D-E-N-E-E.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, dash I-T-Y.com.
is Coach Christine Clark. This is Forging a Life, Going Beyond the Curve, Calling in Your Unique Destiny. I am here on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And today we're talking about the process of transforming, the transformation of your life, whether you're choosing it through coaching or doing a retreat or whether it's life happening to you. Transformation is a process. And we're talking about the process of transformation and all the parts. One of the pieces that is required in the third step of settling into the process of transforming, taking on what's going on in the transformation process, especially if it's when life has given you this huge piece to put you under pressure and shift your life around. The big piece that happens to be able to just move into that and manage it is to quiet that inner critic. That inner critic in our head just wants to start just blaming us and getting loud. What I have found in transformation is there's this point where the process of tearing down the constructs we have in order to access the new ideas, the new possibilities to reach that goal at the bottom of our soul and be able to pull it out, that tear down process can be scary, can be difficult. And when you're got this piece in life where you are dealing with something that's large and the energy and the time is huge, we have this inner critic that wants to look at what's happening and declare that this is wrong, that this shouldn't be. And then we get vulnerable when we are worn out, when we are angry, when we are afraid, when we are in overwhelm, when we are just confused and blindsided, and we get cracked open and we're very vulnerable. And this inner critic can get really, really loud. The more we get into this low state or depression or fear or overwhelm, the louder that critic gets. And it's a cycle that can turn into a tornado if we don't get a hold of it and slow it down, because that inner critic will start showing up and telling us how we're not managing, why we're not doing well, and all the reasons why we're failing and how we're failing and not being enough. And that just amplifies when you're really in something that's new, that's different, that's overwhelmed, when you're in this transformation piece. And we become highly vulnerable to our self-sabotage. And so we want to be able to, A, be aware of that critic. That critic has no place. And we want to ask the right question. Sometimes we ask why, which is totally the wrong question. Sorry. Why is this happening to me? Why is this? Why did the universe choose to give this to me? And when you ask why, that brain of yours, that subconscious of yours goes, oh, it runs back to the day you were born and all the way up to present time and pulls out every mistake you made, everything you did wrong, the circumstance you grew up in your life, how your parents weren't present, how whatever it was. And they say, this is why, because, you know, this is all the bad crap. And this is why, because you pulled Lucy's hair when you were in third grade, because you slept with that cute guy that was just a loser in college, and because you tried out some experimental drugs once in your life, and this is why everything's happening to you. Or because your dad was gone, or your mother wasn't present, or somebody was an alcoholic, this is why, right? And it's all these stories of disempowerment. And it's like, why is the wrong question? When you're in it, when you are wanting to manage it, ask the question how. The how question is a totally different question. When you ask, how can I deal with this? How can I manage this? How can I maintain? How can I get through this, please? Then your brain goes on a, oh, well, let's explore that. How? That's a different question. What are the resources around you? Who are your people that can support you? What kinds of different things can you do? Have you talked, looked at bringing in in-home care? That would be great. How about knowing that, you know, you're doing this, your brother's doing this, and you've got people around you that are supporting you. You're not in this alone. That's amazing. And lean on that. When you ask the how question, that's where the encouragement comes from. That's where the inspiration comes from. That's where you figure things out. So part of the step three of managing and being settling into the process of transformation is to ask the right question to quiet that inner critic. How can I get through this? And you'll get your answer. The fourth step of the transformation process is clarity. Staying curious, setting aside our judgments so that we can see and appreciate what's being there. And I so am grateful for the training I've had as a life coach in this process of caring for both my mother and her friend and then my mother, and to be able to see what fell aside without judgment. When I was able to notice, like, hey, look, you're not journaling, you're not doing yoga, you're not meditating. It's like, oh, that's curious. And to be able to say, instead of saying that I'm not doing enough because those fell aside, but to be able to shift it and realize how big a piece this is that's been placed on my plate. Wow, look at that. This is a thing. This is a big deal. It's okay to pay attention to that. It's okay that this other stuff goes away because look at what you're doing. Look at what you're managing. And that's the important piece. To stay curious and think, wow, look at this. Look at what's changing. When you can notice the changes in your body, and quite often in coaching, we talk about what the client is feeling. You know, when I coach with my people, what are you feeling? How is it showing up in your body? Where is it showing up in your body? What shape? Is it big or small or heavy, hot, cold? What is it? And to be able to actually tangibly create the image of this thing that we're carrying. The changes in our body energy are important because they tell us where we are feeling it, and they tell us what it is, how big it is, and it lets us get a handle on it. In the coaching, then we use that to be able to see what's going on, walk through a process of changing our perspective, of shifting a thought process, of getting a new perspective, and then we come back and say, has this changed? Where are you feeling in your body now? And that shift in mental, emotional, and perspective changes what they feel in their body. They can actually say, yeah, it's different now. It's lighter now. It's gone now. And that's a huge part. So be able to have awareness. What's going on in your body as you are with this? There are new understandings for yourself, and there's new understandings for others. That's the thing that is one of the cooler parts of transformation, is as you get clarity, as you can see what's happening, what's transpiring, you can see the changes in the conversations, you can see the shifts in the relationship, and be able to go, wow, not only am I renewing, not only am I changing my modes of behavior, so are the other people around me. And to be able to appreciate that the changes are happening, that the shifts are occurring, simply by looking at what's going on and not having energy on it. So those are the places that's the transformation. That's the transformation process. And then the last step, of course, is renewal. When you can trust the universe, when you can trust your coach, when you can trust your community, and as the pieces that were scattered are burned away and torn away, then there is a clean slate. And then you can pick up and select what pieces of life that you want to have back in there. You pick up the parts that you want. And what I experienced in my own life going through this care of my mom is being able to let pieces go. And now as little bits of time are opening up and there's a little more breathing space, I can look, what's really important to add back in? What's truly valuable? Not for all aspects of my life, for me as self-care, for me as a businesswoman, for getting back on my feet. Those are the important pieces. So this is what is the process of transformation. First of all, there's recognition of what is, and then there is the steps of removal, the pieces that have to fall away. Then you have the settling into the process of transformation, that this is what is. From there, you have clarity. You can see the shifts. You have the new perspectives. And when you can look without judgment of what is, then you can gain the lessons that are there for you. You can gain the tools. You can pick up that element that is yours uniquely and can empower you to go forward. And then there is the renewal, that stepping out back into your world with power, with clarity, with understanding, with resilience, with strength that you didn't have before you went through your transformation process. And the transformation is what it takes to live the life you want to live, to get beyond the curve and call in that destiny that waits for us. And it would be lovely if we could just skip and glide, but the truth is that these pieces in transformation, whether you're choosing it through coaching, through a retreat, or whether it's dropped on you, are all meant to get you to where you want to go so that you can manage it, so you can handle it, so you can grow with it. You know, the process of transformation is intense. And in the volcano, the pressure and the heat create cellular shifts very deep within us. And we change in countless ways. And then we emerge newly formed. There is rebirth. There's a change in trajectory. You know, it's the next evolution of you on the other side. Remember, the immersion of rapid transformation is a crucible for your growth. It's not a condemnation of your life. Remember that. The crucible of immersion and transformation is for growth. It is not a condemnation of your life. Let fall away what no longer benefits you. Pick up the tools, reap the knowledge that show you, and then you've got what you're able to have. If you can't do that on your own, get professional help. That's why I do what I do, because I guide individuals through their transformation to take them beyond the curve so that they can live into that destiny that's waiting for them. I'm Coach Christine Clark. Find me at my website, sunglowtransformation.com. And I'll be back next month on the 4th Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific at 2 p.m. Eastern. Until then, keep hammering. You've got this.
Thanks for tuning in to Forging a Life with Christine Clark. Remember to acknowledge your talents and skills. Claim the life of your dreams. Believe you have what it takes to forge the life you want. Through intuition, trusting yourself, and the process, take action and call your life into a vibrant, beautifully lit existence.